So, Mabel Louise, can we be sure of all we hope for?
Oh, we can. We have Jesus, and that's all that counts. And you're special out there. Good morning to you. Yes, the sun is shining in Wisconsin, and I hope it's the same where you are today. There's so much to do in the summertime, and having that good old summertime sunshine makes it all possible. Well, are you having a good day then? I am, because you are taking time to listen and be with me. Thank you. I learned something just recently, and I want to pass it on to you because I was just thrilled to read about it. A world map published by the National Geographic Society made this notation. Earth's mass is 6.6 sextillion, I will get it out in a minute, sextillion tons. Now, if you're like me, you say, well, how many figures would that be? And I certainly don't have a calculator that would cover it. It would be a 1 and 21 zeros. Can you imagine that? And that's the mass of the Earth. Imagine it. And what supports all that weight? Absolutely nothing. The planet we live on spins on its axis as 1,000 miles an hour, and it hurtles through space in its orbit around the sun. Wow, just think about it. We don't even notice as we go about our daily tasks. We just ignore it all. It reminds me of Job's statement when he was thinking about God's creation and how wonderful our Lord is. The 26th chapter of Job, if you haven't read it lately, read it because it talks about God's handiwork. Here's just a little sketch of what he wrote. He stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. And then he went on to say that he marveled at the clouds that didn't break under the heavy water that was inside them. And then the horizon at the boundary of light and darkness. He called them the mere edges of God's ways. Yes, God's wonderful creation pointed Job right to the Lord, our great creator. Well, today I'm on a mini-series of How Does Your Garden Grow? Using the parable of the sower. In case you weren't aware, parables are simple and just really Jesus pointing out some points on how to live. He used lots of messages using farming, and he used fishing illustrations because, after all, almost every family had a garden, and they would have been well acquainted with fishing because many of them lived around the Sea of Galilee, and they had lots of fish there. When we were over in the Holy Land visiting and seeing all the sights, we stopped at a hotel, which is along the Sea of Galilee, forgotten the name of it, and we had lunch there. And the lunch consisted of a fish, complete fish, scales and all, of course, cooked. The eye of the fish was huge, and it seemed like it was looking right at me. Oh, boy. I had to cover that over. I felt sorry for the fish. Oh, anyway, life is interesting, isn't it? Well, so on my first broadcast, I covered the preparation of the soil because Jesus is teaching the parable of the sower and talking about what we consider gardening. And we learned that the Word of God meets all of our spiritual needs. Yes, it brings to the soil of our hearts all the sunshine, all the moisture, and nutrients needed for our spiritual growth. And the Holy Spirit ministers to the soil of our hearts by applying the Word of God. The Spirit requires that we submit our hearts to the Lord and allow Him to work in our lives. So now today, allow me to discuss the planting of the seed, the protection against garden enemies, and producing the great harvest. Do you remember reading poems from the Mother Goose book to your children? Oh, my kids just loved it. And we make up songs to cover some of the messages. And they really enjoyed the Mother Goose book. And one of the weird poems in it, and I would read it to the children, was Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow? With silver bells and cockle shells and pretty maids all in a row. And I thought about that old nursery rhyme, which, by the way, didn't make any sense. But I got my title from remembering the rhyme. So on my last broadcast, I read the story of the parable of the sower, and the explanation that the Lord gave to the disciples. Because they asked him, well, why are you talking to the people in a parable, Lord? They asked. And of course, Jesus responded by telling them that they were familiar with it and that he wanted them to hear. And of course, it was something that they were very familiar with because almost everyone had a garden. They didn't have department stores and grocery stores and all the things that we have today. So here's my first point. After preparing the soil comes the planting of the seeds and plants. And of course, before you ever can plant seeds and plants, you have to cultivate that land and fertilize it and smooth it over. And oh my goodness, yes, it takes a lot of preparation. Well, anyone can take a handful of seeds and toss them in the air and let them fall to the ground and wherever. Some would, of course, grow, but the planting would be haphazard. And one plant growing here, and then there would be another one over there, and no order at all. And some of the seeds would blow away by the wind, and some would be washed away in a heavy rain. So to get the best results, the gardener has to take into consideration, of course, the climate of his area. Like a must not would be don't plant today and have the frost too early and then have the frost come. Or don't plant too late and have the extreme heat of the summer. Ecclesiastes 3:2 says, there is a time to plant. Of course, the proper time would be determined by your area. And many times the seed packet would tell you when to plant and how many days it takes to produce the fruit of the seed. I know I always wanted to plant our garden in rows so that my husband could use the rototiller and get rid of those awful old weeds, plus aerate the soil. It was very important to him to make those rows straight. What's the spiritual lesson that we learn here? Well, I think is we need to be careful on how the seed of the Word of God is planted in our own hearts. For instance, if we only occasionally pick up the Bible and read the Word and neglect the things necessary for our spiritual growth, we can't expect to see much in the way of changes in our lives and growing. And if we only read the New Testament or a few books over and over, we'll not know the full counsel of God. By reading the Old and the New Testament, we get a clear picture. I've heard of some people who, when they read the Bible, they only spend time on single subjects, like maybe the love of God, or maybe the subject of heaven. But they exclude the whole counsel of God. Yes, we need to read all of God's Word, both the Old and the New. And regular meditation in the Bible and lots of prayer will certainly contribute to our growth. Other ways of growing in Christ is by great Christian music. And you hear that 24/7 here on WWIB. I hope you enjoy it. And if you're like me, you don't like it all, but there's always something coming up that you can enjoy and love. So anyway, I hope that the calling of the ministry at your church and my church, I've had people tell me from time to time, oh, well, you know what? I don't have to go to church, Mabel Louise. I can just worship at home. I know you can worship at home. Of course, we all do. But according to the Bible, Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as so the much more as you see the day approaching. And then there's the providing protection against the enemies of the plants. The really major task of a good gardener is to protect those plants against the enemies, and that's bugs and weeds. Fighting the growth of the weeds seems to me like it's continual. The gardener has to pull up the whole weed, and that is a big job. And you know what? My husband and I never used weed killer in our garden. Other enemies of the plants are insects that can damage the leaves and the roots of the plants. There are different kinds of sprays and dust that people use. And I remember as a child going through the potato patch and hand-picking the bugs from the plants. That was a big job, believe me. And as we think about enemies of the garden plants, we can also think about certain things that hinder our spiritual growth as Christians. Weeds are compared to sin, and sin manifests itself in so many ways. It usually makes itself attractive as it uses a strategy to trap we as believers. Our common enemy would be faith, or weeds of bitterness. How about jealousy, hate, gossip, selfishness, laziness, all of these things. And then comes the harvest. Oh, happy day when you can go out and pick those beans and beets and fresh lettuce and onions and radishes, need I go on. Those are the ones whose fruit arrive first in the garden. And God has established laws that affect plant growth and he has done the same for spiritual growth. So as we grow in the Lord, we produce fruit. We'll want to serve him and listen to the Holy Spirit's leading. And our real harvest will be a personal life of growth and victory that will bless those around us. And we will want to witness and tell others about Jesus. So as we close, when we examine the four steps on how does your garden grow, I really believe that diligence is the key to successful gardening and also to the effective Christian living. Yes, the Holy Spirit prepares our hearts, and we have to be willing for the Lord to work in our lives. So let me close by saying, as we prepare our hearts, we have to be willing for the Lord to work in our lives. Maybe you're not able to have a garden, but at least you can learn more insight by reading and studying the parable of the sower. My sweetheart and I planted gardens all of our married life, not only for just vegetables, but for lost souls for Jesus. And by the way, this is our main thrust through the airways over WWIB. A big thank you to you today, our listeners. You're helping us to make it all come about. God bless you and goodbye.